Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this special episode, I'll be talking to Louis Jacques-Chef, who is a supporter of Sheffield Wednesday. He is also heard frequently on the Championship Roundtable. He is on to give the opposition view of this match between Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday. We have much to discuss, but before I go on any further, I have to welcome back Louis to the show. Louis, welcome back to Cottage Talk. It's been a while.
Hello, yeah, it has been a while. It seems ages since I was on Cottage Talk, but always a pleasure to be on.
It's great to have you on, my friend. You and I talk often during the season about our teams, and I expected both of our teams. I'll just start off here saying that I predicted, believe it or not, Louis, I predicted your team to win the league and Fulham to come in second. And so let's just say I'm a little bit surprised with your season so far. So let's start there. Let's just talk about the Sheffield Wednesday season through your eyes.
Well, you know, I predicted similar. I expected Sheffield Wednesday to be at least top six again, like you've just said, and Fulham are probably now where I'd expect them to be also, doing a lot better. But yeah, ultimately, this season's just been completely disappointing and frustrating. And obviously, you know, Russ, we're just underachieving this season.
Big time.
You can put it down to a lot of things, and there's obviously a lot of questions to be answered. But it seems crazy. Like only a month ago, I was wondering if we was even going to stay in this league. And it's I know we're going to probably talk about it, Russ, but since we played you last, that was probably the start of our bad form and downfall. Right. Everything went wrong since then, really. And yes, you know, slowly but surely, I'm just hoping now everything's going to ride on next season with Sheffield Wednesday. And I know we've got the new manager come in and he needs to be given time. But yeah, this season has just been a complete write-off, if I'm honest.
I understand that, Louis. And you and I have talked about this on the Championship Roundtable. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of this. The underachievement, where does the blame go? Does it go more on the players? Does it go on the coaches? We now have two coaches. Obviously, Carlos is gone. Where does the blame go?
Well, as you know, and every football fan knows, the blame always goes on the manager, whether that's right or wrong. And, you know, like you've just mentioned, a lot of the blame has to be on the players also because they're not performing. But again, like I said, it's always the manager who gets sacked eventually. And it was strange because I know when I spoke to you in the past with us, you was a fan of Carvajal, and, you know, he was a good manager. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think he just weren't getting the best out of his players. And when I was a firm believer in saying when it got to Christmas, and I always said if we weren't in the top six or even near the top six by Christmas, then he had to go and I had to stick by my word. And obviously that happened. Yeah, he was sacked on Christmas Eve. So, you know, since then, we're just basically in a transition period now. But the reason for us underperforming, I don't know whether it's because we've come so close for two seasons and it's just hit a low this season, you know, with with failure in the playoffs two seasons running. Sometimes the only way is down, and that's what happened this season. But, you know, like I say, everything now is first and foremost was staying in this league, and right. We look to have done that with the performances recently and the results. And then, yeah, the season can't end quick enough for us Wednesday fans and Sheffield Wednesday, really. We're just looking forward to hopefully an eventful and decent summer where we can bring in the right players, get rid of a few deadwood players and see what happens next season. You know, the expectations again will probably be high, and we'll aim for that top six again.
What's interesting is that even with this poor season, you still have a very talented side, and I agree with you. I think you'll get rid of the players that are underperforming and bring in new players, and then you'll start over again. But you're not going to be starting from nothing. You have something. It's just going to be building from what you have and adding to that. But what's interesting here is that I was spent about a good hour watching video of Sheffield Wednesday, your most recent matches, and I'm a little bit concerned from a Fulham perspective, and I'm going to explain why. You've won three in a row, and let's just say these are good wins, but I'm just going to share this with everyone, and I want your thoughts as well. For me, and I said this to you off air, it really was what I was watching, the New Hu and Zhao show. It was basically the two of them. So talk about this winning streak. It's three in a row. And talk about what has been the reason for it. I think it's about these two players to start.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the other name I want to mention there is, as you know, and I'll touch on it, we've had loads of injuries this season, and yes, that's not been an excuse for us underperforming. You know, it's 11 against 11 at the end of the day, and those players what I've been playing have not turned up. However, call it coincidence, but one of our better players, and you know, I think he's instrumental, is Barry Bannon. He returned in the Leeds game, which we won away 2-1, and since then when he's played at each game, we've won both games as well. So for me, Barry Bannon, like I say, he's instrumental, creative, and Nuiu and Zhao, you've mentioned there, they've both just simply stepped up a gear since our new managers arrived. They're getting game time, they're given opportunities. To be honest, they're fourth and fifth choice strikers, but they're gonna, when such as Forestieri, Fletcher, Hooper, we've also got Jordan Rhodes, they're gonna be keeping these players out of the team. Like Nuiu, I've never considered him as a goal scorer, even though he's a striker.
He's scoring skillful goals.
Yes, he's transformed. He's like a different player, and he's been with us for five seasons now. And I believe he scored, over the last few seasons, he scored three goals in 42 appearances. And now, you know, in this last few months, he's scored nine goals in 11 starts, I believe. So it's, and four assists to add to that.
That's right.
So, yeah, so he's, like I said, stepped up a gear. And Zhao as well, I think he scored seven goals in 15 under Jos Luhukay, a couple of assists as well. And together as a pair, you know, I expect them to be starting on Saturday, because they're both literally on fire at the moment. You can't look past them. But like I said as well, Bannon's been a huge part in that. Obviously, the assists and the creation has to come from somewhere also. So I'm going to mention his name as well, included in the reason we've hit some decent form.
Okay, very good. And you mentioned a player that has come back in, and that's Fernando Forestieri. Talk about his return.
So Forestieri's only played, well, not even a handful of games this season. I think it's only three or four in total. And he has returned. He's been out for the whole season, practically. It must be 6 months now, maybe more. And he literally got 5-10 minutes against Preston, and in the 90, he scored. He scored like late on, with, you know, literally nearly one at last kicks of the game, and from a free kick. And straight away, even though he only played 10 minutes, you can see he's just simply one of those players that he stands out. He's a player that we've been missing. Everyone knows that, you know, when he's on his game, Forestieri is one of the best or better players in the league. He showed that a couple of seasons ago and last season also. So we've certainly missed him. And then, like I said, though, he's not going to be given much game time in the remainder of the season, I believe. Like, Luhukay's come out and already said that he'll probably be on the bench for most games of the remainder of the season, and he'll slowly start creeping in. And hopefully from next season, I keep mentioning it, but he'll be starting most games and getting 90 minutes pre-season, and then into the beginning of next season.
Okay, fantastic. Let's now talk about the manager. You just mentioned him, Sheffield Wednesday manager Jos Luhukay. And just talk about the differences with Sheffield Wednesday underneath him compared to Carlos Carvajal.
It's completely different. It's you know, I'm still judging Luhukay myself. I think it's tough to, you know, he's come in, and when a manager comes in, you know, in January, and he's, you know, you've only got a couple of days to get to know your team and whatever. I think it's hard to judge a manager even like after a few months, like it has been. And I really want to see him being obviously given the summer transfer window, and then I'm going to judge the guy at Christmas. And I know it seems a long time away, but I think that's the right thing to do. But in terms of him coming in and how he's changed things, the first thing he did was change formation, and we now play a 5-3-2 formation, which is effectively changed into a 3-5-2 formation, obviously, when we're attacking.
Right.
And that's something that the fans were crying out to happen under Carvajal, but he just never, ever tried and tested that formation under his management reign. So one thing that we seem to have done is we are more disciplined. We defend a lot better than we were doing under Carvajal this season. We don't concede many goals now, and we just simply try and take of those few chances that we are getting in a game. We're not creating a lot of opportunities. It might be only 4 or 5 shots on goal. However,
but you're clinical.
But yes, at the minute with Zhao and Nui being on fire, we are clinical at the minute. And Luukay, the difference between him and Carvajal is Jos seems a lot more disciplined, and he's more. It seems even though he's more disciplined when it comes to press conferences and in front of the media, he's more mellow and chilled out, and he doesn't really give a lot away. Where Carvajal was quite the opposite. He used to, you know, long conversations, turn things into jokes, quite funny, and yeah, he seems quite quiet and shy at times, but. In terms of the training camp and on the field of play, is literally, or the stories have come out that he's a really disciplined manager, and if you know if you're 1 minute late for training, etc., then you don't play on Saturday. So hopefully that'll be something that works in our favour.
Okay, very good. All right, let's talk about the match earlier in the season. And I was thinking about this. Can we learn anything from this? The teams are so different right now, especially what's going on with Sheffield Wednesday, and Fulham have transformed as well. So what can we take away from that? You did get the victory, and you said that was probably your best victory of the season up to that point. So What did you learn from that?
To be honest, at the time, like you've just said, it was probably our best away performance of the season up to that point. The only other one what sticks out is when we beat Aston Villa away 2-1. But if I'm honest, I've been thinking about it also, Russ. I don't think I can take anything from that game whatsoever.
Okay.
Simply because both teams now are completely different in terms of Fulham. At the time, were very up and down. In fact, I think at the time we was next to you in the table around 14, 15th, when we played you. And I was surprised that we actually did go to Craven Cottage and win that day. But when I mentioned you can't take anything from that game, I don't think, is because, like I said, you've developed or found your feet since that game, really, or since Christmas, where you've gone on this huge run and now you find yourself third in the league. And like I mentioned, we've got a new manager, new formation. Fletcher, Hooper, Westwood, Jones, they all played that day. Fletcher scored, and you know it's likely, or I'm 100% certain that none of those players will play on Saturday. So if I'm honest, I don't think I can take anything from that result, even though at the time it was a fantastic result, and I'd have been happy with a draw. But going into Saturday, I think it means nothing, if I'm honest.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now talk about strengths and weaknesses of Sheffield Wednesday. And I always go to whoscored.com and see what they have to say about the opponent. And I'm going to read that to you. Let's start with strengths. And this one surprised me because they don't list any strengths. And that probably has a lot to do with earlier in the season. But like I just mentioned, what I've been watching lately, there are certain strengths. So talk about the strengths right now for Sheffield Wednesday.
The reason I believe as well, I'll just mention, is it's at least no strengths, is because I think we've been consistently inconsistent this season. So you can't really take any strengths away from any game, because each game's been completely different for us. We've been either, until recently, we've either been poor or really poor. But since then, or the strengths that I'd like to highlight now is, and I've already touched on it, is obviously we play 5 at the back now, and that's kind of give us, you know, not only more options in defence, but we seem more defensively sound. Like before, we were making a lot of individual errors, and with that extra man, extra man either side of the 3 at the back, we just seem a lot more stable, if that makes sense. But in terms of such as Barry Bannon returning, and I know I've mentioned him already, but attacking through the middle. Like Bannon can take the ball at any point in midfield, whether that's defence or in attack, and he can run forward with it, and he can spray passes, and you know, he can play long balls, crossing. And that's one of the reasons why, such as I believe Nuiu and Zhao are, they're in form at the moment, because they've got such as Bannon just behind, and right. Without him, they wouldn't be getting those goals. So if I'm honest, playing through the middle and finding our strikers has certainly become a strength this last 4 or 5 weeks with Bannon returning. And like I said, defensively, we just seem a bit more sound.
Okay, excellent there. Louis, it's funny because I'm looking at the style. This is what it lists as your style. Attack through the middle, like you just mentioned, attacking down the left. Right. Play the offside trap and rotate their first 11. That's what it lists as style. Now, here are the weaknesses, and let's see if they still hold true for you. And there are several of them. Here it is. Avoiding individual errors, defending set pieces, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, defending against attacks down the wings, defending against skillful players, protecting the lead, stopping opponents from creating chances. Is that accurate or is it off?
It's accurate. However, it may have changed slightly since our new managers come in. So before Lukai arrived at the club, I would definitely agree that individual errors, every single game was costing us. Like, you know, there was probably one individual error per game and we would concede a goal. I would still, to a degree, say that we do have weaknesses from set pieces. However, like I mentioned, with that extra man in defence, that has tightened things up a little. And the other thing as well is, you've mentioned defending against skillful players. Sometimes we do struggle when we are on the back foot. We don't have a lot of pace in our team. So even defensively, you know, this is one of the things what worries me, and I know we'll come on to it, but there's a lot of pace in Fulham's squad, and that's, I think, where you can take advantage of us on Saturday.
That's what I actually noticed on the video, and I'm glad that you're talking about that, because if there's a way for Fulham to take advantage of Sheffield Wednesday, it will be with their pace, and we have some pace.
I believe so
players.
As well.
That's a good point. I'm glad that you mentioned that. All right. What do you think will be Luakai's strategy against Fulham?
We tend to, if I'm honest, first 30 minutes or so, we kind of play that game where we test each team out and work out who's going to go for it, who's going to, you know, take a risk and see if anything comes from it. So I believe at home, Jos's strategy, or home and away, it's basically keep ball. We press a lot more than we used to, which isn't a bad thing, starting from the top. So obviously Zhao, Nuiyu, players like Reach will be pressing the ball a lot more often. And I mentioned it as well earlier, but we don't create too many chances, but it's just a point of making the most of those chances. Yeah. And at the minute, we're, call us lucky or unlucky, but we're in a position where there's no pressure because we're not going down now, you wouldn't think. And obviously, we're certainly not going up. So we're probably going to finish around the 15th, 16th mark. So I think it's just going to be a case of keeping possession. I think that's the way that Wednesday could potentially beat Fulham, is having more of the ball and like I say, just making the most of those few chances that we create.
Okay, very interesting. All right. Who are your key players for Sheffield Wednesday against Fulham? I'm just going to take a gamble here and say one of them has to be Barry Bannon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've wrote down Bannon. I've wrote down four players really what can hold their head up high. Bannon obviously is the creator, and as you know, and the listeners will know, that he's one of the better players that we do have. So it's great to have him back. Yeah. The other player what I've not really mentioned though is he can hold his head up high this season, and he's played every single league game and had the most minutes under his belt. But Adam Reach always gives 110%. He's an engine as well, so he's always chasing or trying to create.
Him. Go ahead. I'm glad you're talking about
him. Yeah, he's got 7 or 8 goals this season. He's also got similar assists. So, you know, and he's capable of a wonder goal as well. He's got a cracking left foot. So Adam Reach definitely is one of our better players. He's really improved this season, and it wouldn't surprise me if he actually won our Player of the Year award. And then I'm not going to say much too more about the other two because I've mentioned them throughout the show. But yeah, Zhao and Nuiyu, but they're my four for me. What are going to be key players Saturday would be Reach, Bannon, Zhao and Nuiyu.
Okay. I'm now going to put you in the shoes of Slavisa Jokanovic. I've done this to several guests. They probably don't like it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Louis. If you're Slavisa, what would be your strategy to beating Sheffield Wednesday?
For me, we're at home. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, when when things aren't going so well, the crowd can get on their back. So I think if I was Jokanovic, you just need to get us on the back foot. And that's starting from the first minute. I think with the players you've got, and like we've mentioned, the pace you've got, you just need to attack and attack and counter-attack and attack. And I know that sounds silly and it's easier said than done, but I think if you can do so, we probably try and keep ball, like I mentioned. But when you've got the ball, if you use your pace out wide, and I said also that we're not fantastic at set pieces. If you can make the most of your corners or free kicks and just keep the ball in our third of our goal, then I think that's where potentially you're going to win the game by just attacking and attacking us. And I don't expect anything other than that from Fulham when they come on Saturday.
I expect the same. And you pretty much went through what I expect is going to happen from a Fulham perspective. So I'm glad that you are picking up on that as well. All right, which Fulham players most concern you as a supporter of Sheffield Wednesday for this match?
It seems strange because obviously only a few months ago you never had the guy, but you know I can't not mention Mitrovic. Can I?
I have to start there right now. I have to say you do. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I know I believe he's scored 8 goals in 9 starts. And each week now that passes by, I see that he's scored again. And he's obviously took to this league like a fish in water. And, you know, if Newcastle obviously stay in the Premier League, then I'd expect Fulham, whatever the outcome of this season, to be placing a bid for the guy because he looks, like I say, exceptional in this league. But the other players, and I know I've talked to you a lot about him, but I won't go into too much detail, but every club in the country was probably wanting Ryan Sessegnon on at the moment. You know, obviously with age on his side, and he's just he's a future star, isn't he? I don't have to go into detail. Yeah, I don't have to go into detail about the guy with his age and 14 goals this season. Is just, it's unbelievable. So, and then obviously you've got the other guy, which is probably, when he's fully fit, he's probably the best player in the league, or at least one of them, which is Tom Kearney. And I know he can be a game changer and obviously win a game at any given moment. You know, he's capable of goals and assists. But another player what I'm going to mention was, I think he's a bit of an unsung hero, is Johansson. I'm a fan of him and I think he does a lot of, yeah, he does a lot of work off the ball, what you probably don't realise. And, you know, well, if he'd slot into probably most championship teams and just do that job that a lot of midfielders probably didn't want to do. So I'm going to mention him also.
Okay, excellent. Getting back to Sessegnon, I'm just going to share this with you, Louis, as someone that watches a great deal of him. It's interesting because it's happened a few times where the Fulham announcers will be saying, you know what, Ryan Sessegnon's having a very quiet game, and then he scores a goal, then he scores another goal. He is extremely opportunistic in the box. So if you see him in the box, that should be a concern, because if he gets in there and gets to the ball, he's very dangerous. He's extremely clinical. He has a nose for the goal. So that's...
He does. I was just going to say, Russ, there, yeah, he seems to be just one of those players naturally is always in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's go to your starting 11.
I believe, obviously, we've still got a lot of injuries, so there won't be too many changes from when we beat Sunderland last. However, we do have Daniel Podil returned from injury, so I'm going to start in goal with Joe Wildsmith. That shouldn't change. You've got the three centre-backs, which I believe would be Venancio, Tom Lees and Daniel Podil returning, like I mentioned. Jack Hunt on at right-back and George Boyd left, with a midfield three of Joey Pelupasi, Barry Bannon, Adam Reach, and then the two up front, Nui and Zhao, I believe.
Okay, excellent. All right. What's your prediction for this match?
If I'm completely honest, I know I mentioned it earlier, I think it will be quite tight for 30, 35 minutes. Both teams will probably assess each other and test each other out. Although, like I mentioned, we still need to impress and we need to play for a bit of pride and dignity. But Fulham need to come and really take all 3 points. It's more important that they win than we do. I believe, if I'm honest, that it will probably be 0-0 at half-time. But after half-time, I think Fulham will probably just have that extra more quality, because obviously they know they're in a promotion fight now, whether they get in the playoffs or even finish second. And, you know, I don't want to dare I say it, but catch Cardiff.
Let's not go there right now.
But a prediction, I'm going to say 0-0 at half-time, okay. But 2-1 to Fulham at full-time.
Wow. Okay. I'll take that.
I think we will score at being at home. I just think that Fulham will just have the edge and they've got that bit more added quality of players that are fit at the moment compared to us.
Okay. Louis, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Before we go, tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and also any projects that you're working on.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, which is just my name, at Louis Shackshaft. I've also got my website, which is my name, also louisshackshaft.com. Obviously, your listeners follow a lot of Championship football. I've just done a recent blog as to why I believe the Championship is the best footballing competition in the world in terms of a competitive nature. So you can check that out on my website or my Twitter feed also. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for having me. Sorry.
That's not a problem, Louis. It's like I said, I always enjoy talking to you. It really is wonderful. Louis part of the Championship Roundtable that I'm also part of, and it's always fun to do it with Louis. All right, my friend, it is time to go, though. So for Louis Shackshaft, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.